Ladies and gentlemen, first of all, welcome back. It's been a while. Ryan Out Loud is here. New episodes rolling out, but I am excited to I'm excited. I have a very special guest here based in LA, and I'm in Pittsburgh, but this is virtual. Ladies, gentlemen, gays, they, welcome singer, songwriter, Jay Ronell, welcome.
What's up, man?
How are you? I'm good. How are you? What's going on?
I'm feeling good, man. Thanks for having me.
Oh, no, thank you for taking the time out of your busy day to talk with me. This has been in the works, and I appreciate your patience. And here we are. So,
yes, sir.
Here we are. So I really want to just jump into this, your latest project, but I'm going to stick to my flow.
I got you.
Ryan Out Loud listeners, just introduce yourself really quick to the Ryan Out Loud listeners who might not be familiar with who you are, but after this episode, they will be. So.
Gotcha. My name is Jay Ronell. I am originally from Omaha, Nebraska, but I currently live here in LA. And like you said, I'm, you know, singer, songwriter, artist, part-time background vocalist, still. I try to be as multifaceted as I can. I've been out here in LA for about 7 years now.
I remember seeing the post. Congrats.
Yeah, thanks, man. It's been a journey, and
I was gonna ask how
it's still going.
How is that like Nebraska, right, to LA, which I'm familiar with neither, surprisingly, but I've not been to LA yet. I will be there soon. How was that transition? Like, did you have moments where you're like, okay, no, I'm going back? Because I've heard stories about how cutthroat it can be, you know, so I can, you know, me just being a creative, a host and a podcaster, but for an artist, that's a different realm, you know?
Well, for me, the transition was a little easier because I had a pit stop in between. So I went from Omaha to Atlanta.
Okay.
And I went to Atlanta for school for 4 years. Shout out to Clark Atlanta University.
Music, right?
Correct? Yes. Right? Atlanta University.
Okay.
And then from there, I moved to LA like 2 days after graduation. So it was a little bit smoother of a transition. It just was like the next natural step. It was still an adjustment because, you know, Southern hospitality is real. Mm-hmm. And in LA, it's, you know, it's a different game. It's a different game out here. And there definitely were several times, I would say, for like the first 2-3 years, where it seemed like every 6 to 9 months, something was changing, something drastic was changing, or I would have to like uproot and adjust to either a new living situation or a new job situation. So it was a lot. It wasn't until like maybe around the fourth year, I want to say, where I started to feel around the third or fourth year that I started to feel like a bit more stability.
Okay.
And feel like I could breathe a little bit more and not have to be so on the defense with whatever punches and curveballs life was throwing at me. And then, of course, COVID hit and we all were like, okay, well, what the hell are we going to do now?
Yeah, what's next?
The last few years, it's been an up and down kind of journey. But the fact that I'm still here and, you know, things have really, especially this year, things have really taken off. It encourages me to move forward, and I'm looking forward to seeing what the next, you know, 3-4 years look like.
You're on the right path. Like I pay attention. I've been watching and seeing, and you're really thriving. And I love this. Mm-hmm. I really, really do.
Thank you.
Of course. So let's go back. Okay. You know, I was reading doing my research. Okay. So you grew up in the church. Your mom is a singer, correct?
Yes. Well, not like a professional singer, but yeah, she was pretty much the first person I got my obviously that I got my gift of singing from.
Yeah.
But she was really the first vocal teacher I had, the
Okay.
first example of, hearing anybody sing in the home or anything like that. Yeah.
So your voice to me, right? As I was listening, because like I've been listening to nothing but you, all of your projects for like the last, 2 days. I like to soak into it, like get into your voice has that 90s R&B gospel influence, like you
Yeah.
soar. Like I there was a couple, I remember I was driving yesterday and I'm like, oh my God, I have chills. And I can tell you with some seasons.
Oh wow. Okay. So
With
we're yeah,
seasons.
we're going back.
I had chills and I was like, okay. So just give me some influences. Like what was that? Who was that artist for you or artists that you said, this is like what I want to do? Because like I said, I hear the 90s and gospel influence.
Yeah.
So I'm curious.
Well, definitely, artists like John P. Key,
Okay.
Daryl Coley.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Early on, I would say it was definitely a lot of gospel, a lot of older soul, but also surprisingly a lot of pop.
Okay.
That I growing up in the household I grew up in, the music I listened to was monitored. So it had to be like the family-friendly version, the radio edit of stuff. But
Yeah.
definitely like NSYNC, Backstreet Boys, Destiny's Child, Usher, a lot of the Y2K 2000s, 90s pop movement. Definitely I would say a blend of that, like I said, the gospel, the Jacksons, the
Yeah.
Temptations, just very polished artist and vocalist. And then I would say the R&B neo soul side came as I got older.
Okay. Okay. Understood. Yeah, that Y2K era is like, like seeing like artists then like who are still thriving, like Destiny's, individually, Beyonce and Lee, and then Usher still doing his thing. It's like that we're in that weird,
Still doing it.
still doing it.
And
Okay.
the voice is still pristine. I love to
Okay. I'm
see
like,
it.
he hits that, when he did his Tiny Desk, and I was just like, what
Man.
sounds fresh, like it's just off the
He
actual record. And now very few artists can do that, but
said, "Let me remind you who I am
yeah. People try to
today."
play with him. They try to play with his title, they always throw that title around. You know how Twitter is. They always throw that
Yeah.
King of R&B that title
Absolutely.
around and put some respect on Usher. Okay. So Jerena, you for those, and let me tell you for me, right? As I'm doing my research, I'm like, oh my God, I know where besides social media and you've showed a lot of love to Ryan Out Loud with previous guests and stuff. And I'm like, the name. And then when I really started, I'm listening. I remember when you first dropped the project, and I went back and I'm looking. So when I'm doing my research, I'm like, oh my God, you were on the
Yep.
And then like, don't mind. I don't know where my brain be sometimes, but I always say there's this foggy era. Like I don't, I and I blame it on COVID. I don't remember anything before 2019, 20, like that. So I'm
No,
like,
I get it. I get it.
you
Because
know, so
that was such a weird time for all of us to
oh
go
yeah.
through. So it's like, anything pre-20. Anything honestly pre-December 2019, it kind of seems at times like a blur
Oh no.
because of the fact that, a whole year and a half of our life was kind of taken from us.
Yeah, sometimes I'm like, it's 3 years and I'm still like, that was 3 years ago? Like I
Yeah.
very weird. But
No, I get it.
season two of the four, Battle of Stardom.
Yeah.
How was that experience for you? Because did you audition for another competition or did you do see you audition for Voice and
I had auditioned for
Pockets?
all of the shows.
Okay, really?
When I say all of the shows, I mean all of them. American
Idol,
Idol,
The
Sunday
Voice,
Best,
Sunday's Best.
The Voice. So here's the thing. The Voice was the show that brought me to LA, or the audition opportunity that brought me to LA, in addition to reconnecting, the opportunity to reconnect with my dad and his side of the family, because they're all based out here. But yeah, the opportunity to audition for The Voice was like that thing that really convinced me after college, like, okay, LA is the new place I need to be at. And so, yeah, I made it to the blind. This was season 12, I think. I just remember it was Alicia Keys was one of the coaches. And yeah, I had made it to the blind audition round. So it was like this small pool of like 100 contestants, you know, and each day during this final week of taping, you know, they would pull 20 to 25 names to, you know, audition for one of the spots on the show. And we got to the final day of auditions, and I was one of the ones who did not get the chance to sing in front of the judges before the spots on each team filled up. So that was a bit of a bummer, but it was just like, all right, I'm, you know, just going to keep moving. But yeah, I like when I say I've auditioned for every last one of the shows. I remember American Idol a few years back. They did auditions actually in my hometown of Omaha, Nebraska. And so I, you know, here I was thinking, okay, you know, here's the perfect story. Hometown boy, you know, goes in there, is going to knock the judges, you know, knock the judges' socks off. And I wasn't even able to make it past the executive producers round, because they felt that I would not be able to keep up, quote unquote, or compete. You know, they basically, what they were trying to say is my voice was too distinct, and they didn't feel as though I would be able to, again, just keep up. Like if it were like a country week or a rock week or whatever, they felt like I would just be too R&B, too soul, too gospel through and through. Yeah, and I'm just like, y'all didn't even give me a chance, but okay.
That is, wow.
Yeah, it was a little bit of a, can we cuss on here?
Oh, please. This is
it was a little bit of a mind fuck. It was a little bit of a mind fuck, because it was just like, what, you know, what do you mean? Like, come on.
Look, you but, see, you know, face. Like, I'm like,
yeah.
Like, so it sounds like, and correct, like I'm, correct me if I'm wrong, because it just seems like they already have a.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, like,
absolutely.
They're going to let through, like, oh, they look.
So
like
here's this. The thing, flashing forward back to my experience on The Four, one of the, I think he was a producer at that point, or he was working on the team. He was the guy who helped coach me through the audition process for season two, because I had auditioned for season one of the show, and again, they told me no. So when I finally got, you know, convinced to audition for season two, one of the things he shared with me was that a lot of times with these shows, they expect us as, you know, Black artists, Black singers, Black vocalists, they expect us to have kind of a certain sound, a certain vibe, a certain feel. And so, you know, that's why a lot of times you, especially like with the show on The Voice, you have these singers get typecast into the same role year after year. Okay, you have the soulful singer, you have the powerhouse, you have, you know, X, Y, and Z, because they expect that from us. And I will say, luckily with The Four, it definitely was a show that was geared more towards our kind of audience.
Yeah.
And I'm thankful that, you know, Diddy and DJ Khaled and Meghan Trainor as the judges, they really, along with, you know, the producers of the show, the other executives of the show, they made a concerted effort, if you will, to make sure that R&B and hip hop was truly being represented on that show, which I think is why, even though it only lasted for two seasons, why it is still, you know, one of those shows that people talk about and, you know, will still hit me up or, you know, some of my other contestant friends and be like, yo, I still remember this show. They should have never canceled it. Like, it was such a good show. partially because, again, it was geared towards us. And
I think that's why I started to, like, I was late to the party. And I was all of the, like, recap. And I was like, damn, maybe my one view could have been, like, let's keep this going. You know, like,
yeah,
the fact that it was so, like,
R&B. It sucked that, you know, they canceled it. But at the end of the day, I get it. They had to make a business decision, and other, you know, competition shows were on the table. Yeah. And they decided, you know, we're going to go in a different direction. As far as my experience with it, it came at such a weird time in my life, because professionally, I was, of course, looking for something bigger, something better, something more. Yeah. Because I had, by this point, I had gotten kind of used to the LA scene a bit. The LA music scene, I had, you know, made friends and, you know, was doing gigs regularly and all these different things. But I still, you know, I needed something that was going to kind of help me break through to an even bigger audience.
Yeah.
But personally, like, my personal life was in shambles at that point, because I was basically homeless. I had had a multi-roommate situation fall through. And unfortunately, everybody had to go their separate ways. And I found myself basically in a transition house, which, you know, is just kind of like a step above a homeless shelter, in a sense. Mm. You know, it was about five or six of us sharing two rooms, you know, me and you know, four other grown men. And mind you, these men are much, much older than I was. So it was very... It was very shocking. It was very surreal, especially coming, you know, only a few years removed from college, being at the top of my class. And, you know, anytime I'm on social media, people are like, yo, you doing it out there in LA, you living it up. Like, I see you. And it's just like, if y'all only knew the hell I'm going through. So when that show came and people finally started seeing me on TV, it was like a much needed moment of success. It was like, thank God, finally something to, you know, kind of give me a leg up here.
Yeah.
And I took the opportunity and I ran. I was like, I'm going to maximize this for as long as I'm on this show.
You ran with it. Cause I will tell you, my mom, when you sang, you did John Legend, correct?
I ended up doing a couple different, the one that a lot of people know me for, of course, is my version, or my performance rather, of Maxwell's version of This Woman's Work.
You had my mom, like, she was just set, let me just tell
you. And then the John Legend cover,
She was a fan. She was like, I don't know, but something needs to, like, he needs to win. I remember, because, like, me and mama, we would watch these competitions and I would wave in, come in and come out. And then you were performing. Mm-hmm. Like, oh, no. Like, yeah. So that is interesting. And let me, like, sometimes I don't like to get too churchy on Ryan Out Loud, but let's talk about the timing, God's timing, okay? Because we're in this situation. And you're like, you're probably thinking like, well, what the, you know, what's next? What's happening? Yeah. Just like, did you have that moment where you're like, okay, it's time for me to go back home.
At that point, the thought did cross my mind even more, but I was still very determined, very, you know, some might say a little stubborn. But I was just like, no, I did not come out here, you know, to fail.
For no reason.
Like, I'm not going home unless it is an absolute necessity. Like, I'm going to figure this out. Like, actually, it's crazy because my alma mater, one of our mottos is I'll find a way or make one. Mm. And so it was just like... I'm going to figure this out. God, you go ahead and show me what to do, where to go, who to talk to. But I did not come this far just to go home you know, after this situation has fallen apart. And yeah, like I said, when that opportunity hit, it was like, all right, we're gonna take it and run with it. And even after getting, you know, getting eliminated from the show, I was hopeful that I'd make it to the finale. Not because I wanted to win. I didn't want to win because I knew that the recording company that was attached, I didn't think that they would necessarily know what to do with me. And okay. I was also still honestly trying to it's a very good thing because I was still trying to figure out myself.
Yeah, you know,
figure out myself personally and musically.
Yeah.
Because at the time I wanted to be, you know, I wanted to be like, for some reason I was just like, you know, I want to be like the next Lenny Kravitz, the next, you know, Miguel. I wanted to be more more R&B meets rock. And like, you know, since then I've grown and I love Miguel and I love, you know, much love to Lenny Kravitz as well, but that's not my lane.
Yeah.
And it took me some more time to figure that out. It's a good thing I didn't win the show, but
things happen for a reason.
You know,
people say that all the time, but I'm really a firm believer in things happen for a reason. Now I have a side question about these competition shows. And it always makes me want to, like, I don't know, there needs to be a documentary or something, or I would love to even put a panel together, right? One of these years. When somebody wins, right? Or maybe not. Like, let me a different example. Okay. So she didn't win. Jennifer Hudson didn't win Idol. Okay. Mm-hmm. But she did eventually, you know, Dreamgirls, and she got signed. And a lot of the things, and even some of the artists that have won, I feel like a lot of them win and they don't know what to do with, you know, with their voice. I say this about Jennifer Hudson. Like, I love Jennifer Hudson down. Love her voice. It's very powerful, very churchy, very, you know.
Yeah.
And my disappointment comes in because the labels, they want to not use her, but, you know, I feel like they see her as nothing, trying to see her as nothing but another Whitney in a form, you know, like a voice, mm-hmm. like always using her for tributes. And I'm like, she has her own music. Market her for her own music. Yes, I love y'all using her for Whitney tributes. She's one of the few to do it, but come on, you know, work with her, like find her sound, help her, you know. It just, and then you get these other competitions, like these shows, like The Voice. Like, I can't even, besides Corinne Hawthorne, I can't name a winner that I've seen, and maybe they've changed their name or, you know, just not in my radar. But it's just that fresh, you know, this is weird. It's just very weird.
It's frustrating.
Yeah, frustrating. There you go. You know, it's very frustrating to see, you know, especially when I can only imagine as an artist. No, I can't. But as a fan, you're like, I want to hear more. I want to hear what they're going to sound like with their first, you know, but nothing, crickets. And it's like, they put them on shows.
Well, I'll say with shows like The Voice, I think, you know, and much love to them and their platform. I think where it's kind of gone sideways with them is the fact that for such a long time, they were doing back-to-back seasons twice a year.
I see. Okay.
That doesn't allow the fans to really, truly get to know this, you know, these crop of artists or this winner that you have just thrown in our faces for the last several weeks on TV.
Yeah.
Before you're bringing on a new crop of people that now you want us to get emotionally invested in every week. It's hard to keep up.
Yeah.
I will say with like a show with like American Idol, one thing I loved that they used to do, they don't do it, or at least they don't publicize it as much now, is every year after the season was over, they would take like the top 10 or the top 12 and take them on that tour. They would take them on a summer tour to really get those contestants even more exposure, even more experience, you know, really help solidify these fan bases that they're building. And they don't really, you don't really see that now. And I think some of that is just because of the way that the music industry has changed. Now these shows are literally just about the platform and, you know, getting as much exposure as you can. And that's why, like, I tell any of my friends anytime they audition for these shows, make sure you start working on, you know, music or merch or whatever it is, whatever the product that you want people to invest in future wise, start working on it now. So that way, when your time on the show does come to an end, whether you win or whether you get eliminated in rounds one, two, three, or four, you will already have something locked and ready to go. Because the worst thing you want to do is kind of be in my position where you're having to try to hold on to people's attention for an extended period of time until you're able to produce a physical product that people can listen to. Luckily, people were so invested in me and my story and my gift that I was able to keep people's attention just long enough after being eliminated on the show, you know, to, I would say, maybe it was like just under a year later, being able to drop what was then my second EP, Vulnerable. But yeah, it just, when you go on these shows these days, have a game plan ready. That would be my advice. And I think that will best serve you, because the days of expecting to go on these shows and become the next so-and-so, it's slim to none. It's slim to none at this point. Now, that's not to say it can't happen. Right. Because American Idol, I know one of the girls that was on a couple seasons ago, Gabby Barrett, she blew up and like she became like the next Carrie Underwood. And it's been so cool to see. Yeah, it's been really cool to see her, you know, from that show. And now, you know, she's married and she's got two kids and she's winning all these different awards. So it's like it can still happen. Yeah. But the days of you expecting to go on there and become America's next top pop superstar, just lower your expectations.
Understood. Now that's the past. Let's talk about, first of all, you dropped your first EP finally before you went on to, I want to say The Voice, The Four.
I get that all the time. It's like, no, it's the other, it's the other show with 4chan.
And then you did Vulnerable in 2019, Beloved in 2020, and then you jumped all of, you know, 2023 with this year with your most recent Regret and Reflect. I want to talk about how the difference, okay? Because I feel like, it's just my listening ear, okay?
Okay.
The beginning, like finally, it's like it's the introduction, right? And then Vulnerable, you take us, it feels like, you know, you're taking us through a relationship type of, you know.
Something like that.
And Beloved, okay, pulling away.
It got you.
I'm like, where can I go can I go make my own Grammy, okay? And give that to you, because
I appreciate it.
You soared. Do you like
that? That one was a fun one. I love a good ballad.
Ballad through and through. Like, my friends do not let me put on my playlist because why are you so moody?
Listen, one of these days, I'm going to cross paths with Diane Warren, and I'm just going to be like, excuse me, sis.
I can hear
you. We need to write something.
You need to talk. Let's sit down.
I need a song that can just take people on an emotional roller coaster ride.
It needs to happen, because pulling away, seasons on Vulnerable, like, wow. And I'm listening, right? I'm listening to Beloved. And I feel like you're the artist. You probably do notice, obviously. But in your, and also, you know, you give a little spoken word here and there. Like, I'll be listening, okay? I'll be like, come on, talk to me, okay?
Yeah.
The late night texts, are you aware that you basically teased regret and reflect?
So you're the second person now that has mentioned that to me.
I was like,
I'm just like, I guess I was not aware myself. That was not intentional, but now that y'all have said that, it's like, okay, maybe we do need to make this like a thing. So for the next project, whenever that does decide to manifest itself, we'll do another spoken word or something. I don't know. I don't know.
I was like, literally, I was driving again and I was like, hold on. I remember I literally, because I keep my Ryan Out Loud notebook with me, and I was like, let me write this.
Yeah.
Damn. One text filled with regret caused me to reflect. I was like, come on, teasing the new project. And that,
I was not even thinking about that, because the title of
3-year difference, right?
Like, yeah.
Okay.
And so the title of this new project was originally going to be, I originally was going to call it, what was it? Helpless. I think Helpless Romantic. Was the original title I was like going to go with.
Okay.
Yeah, but I was just like,
understood.
It didn't fit all the way. It was like, you have a puzzle piece that is a corner piece, but it's not the right corner. So it was like, maybe we can find something else. Because originally, I wanted to do all one word titles. So one of my other influences, who's another gospel artist, Richard Smallwood, all of his albums are always one word titles.
Okay.
And I remember him stating that in an interview, like, it wasn't intentional until it became intentional. And I was like, I like that idea of having all projects throughout the course of my career be one word titles to kind of sum up what it is that I am thinking or feeling, or the general mood of each project. But with this one, it was just like, I feel like there's more than one word that we can use.
Yeah. So or you could have did a part one, regret, and then you could have did a volume two, reflect, you know. But
possibly.
But it's perfect as is. So let's talk about that, okay? Because I told you off camera, off recording, like, you didn't have to read me like that, okay? Isolate, stuck, down, bad. Look, I'm going out of order because I didn't write it down. But
I mean, that's pretty much the order, but you got it.
It is the order, yeah. Fuck my feelings away. Like, I've been in love language. Like, I've been in this last 2 years. I've been in every phase of that, right?
Yeah.
And I relate to you on isolate. I am an only child.
Yeah.
Well, and like, okay, you're starting off the project like... Because I remember when I messaged you, it was like, it is really good. And that's all I could say, because I wanted to say, really, and now that I'm to your face, like, why would you read me like this on this?
You know, it was just one of those things where, out of 2020, I wanted to make songs that I felt not only were obviously experiences that I was going through, but that a lot of people that I know, I was seeing online, or people that, you know, I'm closely connected to. It's like, everybody's just kind of in this box of, you know, kind of self-isolating, whether because of the pandemic or just, you know, by choice.
Yeah.
It's definitely something I've been talking through and working through with my therapist, is just the act of not being so quick to self-isolate, you know, and that sort of thing. So I was just like, this is a great way to start the project.
It really, you know, I'm like, okay, he's talking to me, because being an only child, although I was one of those kids, like, my mom used to have to yank me to sit me down, because I was one of those curious kids, or I felt bad for older people or people sitting by themselves. I'm like, I'm gonna go to their mom. And she's like, if you don't bring your ass back here. I've always, like, just had a thing for people, just like, oh, why are they by themselves? And then I'm like, oh, you know, now,
yeah,
as I've gotten older, I'm like, okay, let me just mind my business.
Yeah.
And then we go into stuck. And it's something about you artists that have these songs stuck that just really hit me in different ways. Because Duran's stuck.
Yeah.
I felt that. Shout out to Duran Bernard. He's been on this show.
Yep, yep.
And we're going to talk about that's coming up as well, because I'm excited for you about that. But it's something, you know, stuck. What I love is, I want to know, is there footage of you recording this song? Because it was just like, I was just like, it sounds and it feels like you were just having a, despite, you know, what it's, you know, you're talking about being stuck, but it was just a, you know, you bop to a song, you forget what the lyrics are about sometimes.
Honestly, I wish that I would have been able to get more footage. But one thing about me, when I get into the studio, I'm very much like a machine.
You said you did this. I read some, I was listening. You did this in like how
three long? 12-hour sessions.
12-hour sessions.
Which is insane to some.
That's giving Beyonce B-Day. Like, she recorded B-Day in 2 weeks, and you did three 12-hour, like.
Yeah, because I knew not only budget-wise, I'm just going to put that out there. I knew budget-wise, but also just time-wise, I was like, I don't want to prolong the recording process any longer than I have to. So I want to just, you know, keep it moving. Yeah. So my goal was like, all right, we're going to do these three 12-hour sessions. Each session, I'm going to try to knock out, you know, three songs. So it's basically like 4 hours to each song.
So you have 8 songs total. How many songs did you record initially? Or do you like go into it like, you know, this is how I want it?
We pretty much, yeah. I would say the only one we didn't know right away was going to be the spoken word interlude, the Fuck My Feelings Away.
Okay.
That one came later because I knew that I needed something to kind of tie, to kind of bridge between Stuck and Down Bad. I was like, there's just something there that can help kind of tie in that story a little bit more. But definitely, it was just like, no, we're going for it. And my engineer, he was looking at me a couple times like I was crazy. He was like, you sure you don't want anything to eat or anything? I was like,
butter, like, you need a sandwich. Like,
I would often leave there like super exhausted, wake up the next day with a super bad headache. But I was like, no, this is it. Like, we're going to get this project done.
Was it so the three 12-hour sessions, were they back to back, or did you do this like over how long did it overall?
I would say over the course of about a month.
Okay.
Because we did have one session, now that I think about it. So we had three 12-hour sessions to get all of the main recording done, and then we did one kind of small cleanup session. We did one small, just kind of going back in, doing ad libs, any last retakes or anything like that.
Yeah.
So I would say over the course of about a month, and then the mixing process that took a little bit longer, and that's where more of my patience had to be extended and stretched, because I was just like, what's taking ready. So long? Yeah, like,
you're ready.
You know, want to get these songs out to the people.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was just like, all right, once I get in the studio, like I said, it's machine go. Machine time.
You're crazy. A good crazy. Like, that's crazy. Yeah. And congrats. Like, that, it is such a phenomenal project. Like, I
thank you.
Really, really mean that. Like, it spoke to me, okay? Because of what I was going through. And thank you.
I appreciate it.
Like, I knew when I, you know, I listened to it, I was like, okay, see if I can get you on the show. And when you followed back, I was like, you know, like, yes, we had to talk about it. So you said, you know, you talked about how it wasn't just your inspiration, you know, what you've been through. It's other thing you were taking from other people's social media. But like, I just, in general, like, an outline of like this inspiration, to, you know, it was very vulnerable. It was raw, and it's personal. So. Just if you don't mind, just take us through that.
So with the whole project, I always tell people, like I said, it was partially inspired by everything that I and people that I know I was seeing us go through coming out of 2020 and the pandemic era, and, you know, just all the things that people were talking about. And also at the time, Hotels by Jasmine Sullivan had just dropped. So I was super inspired by that, you know, just her always listening to any Jasmine Sullivan album. I'm always inspired by how she just not only vocally delivers, but lyrically, thematically, and especially with this last album, it was just like, it's so, there's so much to really digest and take in. And so I was like, this is really good. And it inspired me to kind of do sort of the same, but from a male perspective.
Yeah.
And so between that and, you know, an album like Janet Jackson's Velvet Rope, which is another, you know, well-known project that's known for being vulnerable, open, honest, real. I was just like, I feel like, you know, whereas Beloved, the project that was before, was, it's, how do I describe it? It was the beginning of me really finding my sound. Mm-hmm. And, you know, also at the same time, it was a bit more trendy, a bit more sporty here and there.
Yes.
Whereas this project, I was like, it's soul and you know, we'll continue with the sound and the sonics. But I really want to just, again, go there, open up, and share new aspects of my life that I haven't necessarily shared through music before. So that's really what motivated me to create this project.
I love it. I really do. And I love, and I say this probably to every artist that have come on this podcast, but it's like, you gotta be mindful, right? Because you gotta go through, you're not only just an artist, but you're a person, and you have to experience shit. You know, you gotta go through shit and live through it. And that's how you, I guess the healing process is writing and then recording it and then releasing it, realizing, like, you know, oh, other people go through this, is, you know, go through things like that. And I'm
great.
I was like, I wanted to message you, like, okay, where's the follow-up? Okay.
Well, so what's crazy is even though I know it's going to be some time before I put out a new body of work, because, you know, making music as an independent artist costs.
That's another. We're about to get into that really quick. Don't worry.
Ooh, but I already kind of know the direction that I want to take the next music in. I'll just say that, whether it's singles, full project, whatever.
Yeah.
I know the direction just based off of everything that I've been experiencing in my life over the past year so far. And, you know, the things I've been discussing with my therapist, it's like, okay, how do we build upon specifically these last two projects? Because I feel like that's really kind of like how Janet had those first two albums, but Control is really the one that everybody acknowledges as like the start. That's kind of how I am with, like, the Beloved project. I love, you know, Vulnerable, and I love the Finally project, but it's for me, it's like Beloved and then
Sound.
Yeah, it's like, that's really where it's like, okay, we're finding our groove, we're finding our lane, and we're going forward. So now with, you know, this next direction is like, okay, I see kind of where this is going, and I'm excited, but definitely for the time being, we're still focused on this.
That's fine. We're still staying in this era, because I love it. I love it. So, you know, you really gave 90s R&B realness in the stuff, you know, from the hair, the outfit. You looked in the mirror. I was like, oh, he was in his 90s R&B bag. Okay.
A little bit. I was trying to see if anybody was gonna catch, like, the Easter eggs that were in there. Like, there's two scenes specifically. Two scenes, two shots specifically, which are like, okay, this is kind of like my tribute to some of my, you know, favorite
now I'm gonna go back and watch it, and you will get a message from me later, probably.
I've just been waiting. Nobody said anything yet, but I'm just like, all right, somebody's gonna catch it.
I like homework. I'm gonna do it.
Yeah.
Let's just talk. We, you know, mention it really quick. As an independent artist, right? It it can be frustrating. But for you, Jay Runner, how do you balance that? Okay, because there's a like independent artists have to always go the extra mile, right? Like work a little bit harder. And I love it, right? And then I hate it because I love seeing the content on social media, on the Twitter timeline, on Twitter, on Instagram, on TikTok. But then it also, what makes me mad about it is these labels are seeing that you are putting out your honest hard work, sometimes for free, or sometimes spending your last, not saying your last, but you know, like your last. And then they do put this $1 million budget behind a mediocre ass artist. And I'm gonna say, yes, I said it, a mediocre ass artist, and give them all this exposure. And it's like, damn, you know, like I can count on how many hands I've seen Warren Dumont be inspired, you know, being an inspiration, Duran being an inspiration in these machines and these artists. And I'm like, what? You know, so back to my original question, because like I said, I can go off topic all the time. Because I'm really,
you're saying what a lot of us have silently been thinking
y'all so hard. That's the main reason why I created this platform, because artists like you, Duran, 70, Warren, everyone in that independent artist realm, like, you deserve to be heard. And I don't have the biggest platform, but somebody's going to listen. And that's my goal. But how do you find a balance, right? That balance between real life and then, oh my God, it's been 2 days since I've posted, or should I do this, or how should I do that? How do you find that balance? What is a, and I tie that in to say, like, what does a self-care day look like for you? Throw at you. I'm sorry.
No, that's good. Let's see. I'll start with the first one, the first part, the part about the balance. It's, for me, it's about taking time to live. You know, I'm very inspired by, you know, artists of the previous generations. And one thing I appreciated about, you know, like artists from the 90s or the early 2000s, they weren't necessarily trying to put out, you know, content or
single after single.
It was like, you knew, okay, we're going to get a couple singles, then the album, press tour, disappear, go live, and we'll see you again in a year or two or however many after you've had a chance to breathe and get your mind right and get back into the swing of things.
Yeah.
And I look at that and it's just like, I try to follow that model as much as I can. Obviously,
love that.
You know, I still try to be visible, because you want to keep people engaged. But yeah, I'm not going to be one of those artists that's just throwing stuff out there, trying to see whatever sticks. Cause it's just like, you know, I need to be able to live. I need to be able to breathe. And again, this stuff costs. Yeah. This stuff is costly. With the Beloved Project, thankfully, all of that was funded by the government, because the pandemic money, all of that.
For some things,
you know, but it's still very much a struggle out here. And in my position as of right now, I still don't have like a full team. I have, you know, I'm blessed to have my PR, you know, and we've been able to get some big wins this year, but we still had to take a bunch of L's because of the fact that, you know, people still like to play the numbers game. you know, if you don't have a certain number of monthly listeners, or if, you know, your songs aren't accessing a certain number of streams, they won't even bother listening to you. It's like, well, what the hell did you feel like taking the meeting for? It's like,
it's kind of advance, right?
Yeah. It's like, if you did your research and you saw what we're working with, why would you hop? Why would you agree to continue to hop on the call just to tell me, like, you could have just sent me an email?
Yeah. Like, you know how jobs do. Like, thank you for your, you decided to move along with another, like, go ahead. Yeah.
Yeah. Just, you know, making us jump through all these extra hoops, or, you know, all of this different stuff. So yeah, there are definitely areas of frustration. But I look back at, you know, the past things that I've accomplished, and I can see the growth, you know, especially going back to projects like Finally or to the Vulnerable Project. I can look back and see the growth sonically, vocally, thematically, and say, you know what? People are listening. People are, you know, engaging. We're still working on getting the engagement even bigger and more. Still working on that. And really getting people to see that this really is a marathon, not a sprint. Like, it's not just one of those snap your fingers and it happens overnight. Like, this is a journey that's going to take time, especially as an R&B artist. It's going to take time, you know, and one that leans more traditional, also one that embraces his queerness. It's going to take a bit more time. But once I find and have started to find, and as I continue to find, you know, my audience, and, you know, continue to really dig more into my sound and all of these other things, then we'll start to see even bigger and better results. So it's really just patience for me.
Yeah.
As far as the self-care part, typical day for self-care just kind of depends on the day, really. If it's a Friday, typically, you know, I'll start my mornings with meeting with my therapist, my Friday mornings, meeting with my therapist, you know, discussing whatever happened through the week, whether it's good, bad, indifferent, whatever. And then, you know,
that's a good way to unwind sometimes. I used to do that Fridays, you know.
Yeah, it's always like a nice little recap.
Yeah.
And then, you know, I'll go do my workouts, get my cardio in, get the heart rate going and all that. And, you know, from there, it's whatever else is going on throughout the day. Sometimes my days can be super packed. And so I may not get to, you know, necessarily do the workout, or I have to kind of make it an abbreviated situation.
It
really depends on the day. On a perfect day, though, I'm not going anywhere. I'm not doing anything. I'm getting up. I'm going to grab something out the kitchen, take a shower, go lay back down, watch TV, go to sleep. Exactly. There you go.
I love that. I love that. Now, you were just at the BET Awards, correct?
Well, the watch party this year.
Okay.
Last year, I had the honor of being one of the supporting vocalists for Kurt Franklin and Maverick City's performance.
That is dope.
Yeah, but this year we were at a different location for the watch party.
Okay, so my question to you is, you know, people, they rip that award show to shreds. Like, I haven't had the chance to go rewatch, you know, watch it. I've been watching clips. Mm-hmm. I've been busy myself, and I'm like, is it really that bad? Like,
here's the thing. When they made the announcement early on this year that, you know, they were going to be celebrating hip hop's 50th anniversary, I immediately knew what type of time it was about to be. I already knew it's going to be a very hip hop heavy year. So let's not, you know, get our expectations too high to see a bunch of our favorite singers, because they're going to be mainly highlighting hip hop.
Yeah.
And I was fine. And of course, with the current writer strike that's been happening, you know, it was just like, okay, they have to figure out how to keep the show moving without a host. So I will give them credit for how they kept the show flowing without a host by just having the extra performances. And I felt that, you know, it was definitely a bit more thorough than the Grammys were. Obviously, the Grammys, they have a multitude of genres to cover. But I felt that they were pretty daggone thorough with, you know, covering all of the different eras of hip hop, covering the different regions, covering, you know, all of the spaces. You know, there's still a couple big names that haven't necessarily been called or pulled on yet. And then, you know, the year ain't over. So who knows what other celebrations we'll see. But I'll give them credit for that. Would I have loved to have seen still more R&B represented within the show?
Yeah.
Absolutely.
I think we'll get our chance with the Soul Train Awards, maybe.
I was just going to say that definitely when November hits, bring us the R&B. Leave the hip-hop at the door. Love y'all, but this is a night for singers.
Yeah.
If your microphone and your vocal cords aren't intertwined in a musical singing sort of way, we appreciate y'all, but this ain't the night for you.
Sit in the audience and enjoy. Yeah.
There we go.
I thank you for that, because I have not watched it, and I'm one, like, I gotta watch it myself to understand, not judge, you know. But you
now, with all of that being said, please, whoever it is in Hollywood, pay these writers so we can get them back on these award shows.
Please.
Award shows, just, I feel like they need a host, you know, but don't let it just be anybody hosting. Let it be somebody who is skilled and can keep the crowd engaged. But like I said, they did all right.
Back eventually, like, please bring her back. I don't know what that'll look like, but I watched a lot of old clips and I was like, she really was.
I was going to say, if they don't do it next year, when the 25th anniversary hits in 2025. If not next year, the 25th anniversary is the year following. That would be a smart move.
Take some notes, okay? So, first of all, I'm going to wrap it up, but I want to, like, congratulate you on, you are going on tour. Karan Bhanar on the second of the Wanderlust tour. Yeah. First, my question, this is me asking as a fan, are you touring on his Columbus tour date? Are you with him?
Yes. Okay. I believe so. I was going to say the only date I believe that will just be him is, I think he's doing a gig in West Palm Beach.
Okay.
But yeah, I'll be, and of course the international dates, homie G Noble will be opening overseas. So, you know, I'm excited for that, 'cause I know that's going to be a dope singing ass lineup.
Yes.
But yeah, all the other 11 cities that are on this tour list.
Say less. 'Cause I saw him in Cleveland. That's an easy drive from Pittsburgh. I went to Cleveland and then I saw that he was coming. He was just here last on Sunday. I couldn't make it because I had another situation going on, but I saw he announced the dates. I'm like, oh, I'm going to see him in Columbus. And then I saw your name added and I was like, this is crazy. I was like, I was gonna message you, ask you, I'm like, okay, are you going on all day? But then I'm like, I'll make sure I'm there. I will definitely see you in Columbus. Yes, I'm gonna say Cleveland again, because I gotta hear the songs live. I gotta hear because you got me with stuck. It's just like,
listen, I am when I say I am super, super excited for multiple reasons. Obviously, this is my first tour ever, a singer, artist, anything. Like, I've always wanted to do, like, a real tour. Yeah. You know, I've been blessed to do spot dates with different artists. I've been blessed to do, like, you know, weekend runs, like a full-on tour. So the fact that, you know, this is my first opportunity and it's as a solo artist, and the fact that it's with somebody that I'm really close friends with it just makes it even better and more fun.
Rent is great.
Yeah, it just, it makes it even more fun. I know we're going to have a good time. We're going to cut up on and off stage.
Yeah.
And yeah, I'm just looking forward to it. And also, I was writing, responding to somebody's question they asked me the other day, it dawned on me that this lineup features two openly queer Black men, which I don't think we've ever seen a lineup of this sort before. We've never seen, you know, a tour featuring, whether, you know, as the opener or the headliner, we've never seen a tour featuring two openly queer Black men. So it's like, this is a dope ass moment. And the fact that, you know, I get to be a part of it, I'm super, super happy. You know, now I will say it is a larger undertaking than I thought it was going to be, just because it's like there's so many things that you now really have to consider as far as like, okay, set list, you know, I've been given this much time and, you know, I got to try to fit as many songs that I know that I want to perform and that people want to hear, you know, to really give them a full scope of who I am as an artist. And it's like you're trying to figure that out. Then you got to figure out the merchandise. Okay, what's going to be easily transportable? What, you know, what are people going to want to buy and all this, that, and the third. Yeah. So it's a lot to take into consideration, but it's fine. All good problems.
Yeah. It's good. What you say, good problems. You're going to be fine. And I'm super excited for you and this opportunity. Like you said, you guys are making history. Like, two openly queer Black men going on tour, that's crazy. And
it's gonna be incredible.
I'm excited. I'm definitely gonna get my ticket to go to Columbus, and I will be there. So hopefully
friends.
I plan on it. Hopefully we get a chance. I would love to like just meet you and just give you
your
in person, because you're amazing. Your voice is phenomenal. Like,
thank you.
I told you I had chills a couple times, like just a few times, like anyway, sometimes I gotta remember, Ryan, you're doing a podcast, because I can fan out. Like, Duran was on here and I was like, oh my
listen,
God.
I'd be the same way sometimes.
I know, he probably was like, if this nigga don't get to this interview, like he's one of my favorites. I was just like, you know, but so I gotta keep it professional. But J. Ronnell, thank you for taking the time.
Absolutely.
To come on Ryan Out Loud. I truly appreciate this moment. And I always tell artists that have been on the show, Ryan Out Loud is here in any way to support, to be there, reach out. You want to be on the show, come back, let me know. All you got to do is just message me, whatever.
For sure.
Let me know. I want to extend that offer, you know, that resource, because we need to be supportive of each other, especially as me as a Black queer creative and trying to carve a lane for my Black queer artists, independent artists. I'm here. That's all I can say. My last question to you, and I ask all of my guests this question, and it's tying in is with the reflecting and, you know, all of that. What advice, J. Ronnell, would you give to your younger self? It changes, right? Because it changes. So right now, in this moment, what would you tell your younger self?
Strap yourself in, kid. It's going to be a wild ride. A lot of the things that you dream of, that you see on TV, and that you wonder what it would be like to do, you're going to accomplish. So, you know, just strap yourself in. Continue to listen to your parents, because they do know best at times.
Yes, okay.
You know, the fact that your mom drug you to church all those years, it's gonna pay off, and it sticks with you.
Yeah.
And it resurfaces at moments when you need it most. you know, some of those, especially like them old hymns and old songs, it creeps up on you. So, you know, you may not like having to go every week, but trust me, it'll benefit you. I would say, yeah, that's pretty much the basis of what I would tell my younger self. Just be prepared. Your mind is gonna be blown. And don't worry so much about, you know, who does or does not like you, you know, whether or not you're one of the popular kids and all of that, because a lot of that stuff is not gonna matter once you get older. Like, a lot of the people that you grow up around and that you want to be like, things change, times change, and you will see as you get older that you were right for continuing to just be yourself, yeah. Be your authentic self, and allow yourself to grow and evolve and all of that. So
that's beautiful. Yeah. Thank you. Thank you. Hey, Rena, let our listeners know where they can find you on social media.
Yeah, so you can find me on all social media at I'm J. Ronell. That's I'mJeronelle. And all my projects are on Apple Music, Spotify, Tidal, all of those wonderful platforms. So definitely connect with me, reach out, hit me up. Let me know what songs you guys like and are listening to. If you're coming to see us on the road.
Yes.
This fall, let me know what city you're going to be in. And, you know, I'm looking forward to the rest of what 2023 has. Yeah. Okay.
Support him. And yeah. I will have everything posted in the link when the episode airs so that they have no excuse to not know where to find you. Okay.
Right on.
Ladies and gentlemen, gays and days, this has been another amazing episode of Ryan Out Loud. I am always thrilled and filled with inspiration and passion after talking to such amazing artists like J. Ronell himself. Remember, y'all, Black lives matter, Black queer lives matter, Black trans lives matter. That will never change. Protect your energy. Be safe in these streets.
Amen.
Okay?